Hey guys, thanks for tuning into our podcast. We hope that you are encouraged by the content. Our vision is that we link people to Christ to see them set free, healed, and empowered. Thanks for letting us be a part of your journey.
Come on, somebody put their hand together for King Jesus. Amen. And so here in a couple of weeks, what is considered to us is the Super Bowl Sunday of our faith, and that is Resurrection Sunday. And I'm so excited. It's the time of year that a lot of individuals that don't usually go to church are finding or looking for a place to go and worship on that day. Us, as the church, our responsibility is to find ways to get them to come to where we are so that we can present the gospel to them. And so your friends, your neighbors, your family members, listen, people that you know that don't attend the church, we ask you to invite them to come here. We're going to have an awesome time together, but we want to present them the gospel and get them into a relationship with Christ Jesus and be a part of their journey like we've been a part of some of your journey. And so how many of you, your life is better because you've entered into a relationship with Jesus? Amen. They say 80% of people that come to church is through an invitation. And what happens in our life is that the enemy distracts us by the things that we're going through, that we come to church because we need Jesus for ourselves. But that distraction stops us from inviting people who need Jesus that don't know the hope that we have found in him. And so I'm asking you that these next couple of weeks, as you get your eggs outside, eat the two candies. My wife says that sugar has parasites in it. Those that know her will laugh. Everybody has to do a parasite cleanse. So as you eat your candy and gain your parasites, use the QR code to invite somebody to get them to come here and to worship with us. Amen? Amen. And so my wife, as some of you can see, she is not here with me on today. She is right now with my son, Nicholas, downtown. He is fighting in a jiu-jitsu tournament. And he's... And so as soon as we're done here, I'll head over there because he is going to be an all-day thing. So he's down there kicking butt and, oh, I'm just kidding, he's loving people and he is teaching them all of the goodness. No, he's down there kicking butt. And I'm so proud of him and grateful for him and excited to see what God is going to do in his life. And so we're going to be big promoters of who he is. And so you got me. And everybody shoot my wife a little message telling her that you missed her because she is missed. And whoever put that little flower thing on the bench over there, thank you. It doesn't have a name, but it's her favorite. My wife's favorite flower is a weed, so I'm winning. I don't have to buy roses. I just got to go and pick weeds. Come on, y'all. I'm winning. Y'all got to celebrate with me. All right, so we are on this sermon series, The King. Somebody say, The King. All right, we serve the King. And it is something that us in the Western world, we're not used to this dynamic, right? We have a different type of government here in America. So we've never experienced actual life with us being in a kingdom with a king. A part of kingdom is that the dominion is ran by a king. King Jesus, the king, there is a dominion that we are under and we get to celebrate all of that. But sometimes our mindset and our understanding is not in the area or in the realm of dominion with the king. We're just excited that Jesus loves us and we were headed in the wrong direction and what he did on the cross opened salvation for us. How many of y'all are excited about that? Amen. But there is a king and a kingdom and a dominion, and we get to be a part of that. And I'm so excited that although physically I am here in the United States of America in Oklahoma, I am not of this world. It is not just a catchy phrase. It just doesn't look good on a hat or a t-shirt or a wristband. The reality is that we are just passing by. God has a work, and in the spigot of all of eternity, he says, I'm going to put them there because there is a job for them to accomplish, and then they get to come home. So don't get too comfortable because you're just passing by. Some of y'all should be a little bit more excited. Some of y'all be like, I'm so excited, I'm just passing by. because I can't stay here too much longer. Some of our prayers are like, Lord, I know you're coming real soon, and I won't be mad if you come back today. Can anybody shout amen to that? The ones that didn't shout nothing, they're like, I still got so much to do. I got a big old bucket list of things to accomplish. I guarantee that where you're going up with God up in heaven, that it is greater than anything on your bucket list. Amen. And so there are principles. And since the ancient of times, there is only one way for an individual to become king traditionally. Now, some people can become king because there's no one in the lineage. Something has happened and now they're kind of crowned as this king. But usually tradition says that a king can only beget a king. Right? That I have children and my firstborn will reign and rule once I am gone. I get to pass that down. Now, the kingdom of heaven is now takes on this inheritance and the legacy that we get to walk in, the heritage that we get to follow is that Jesus, King Jesus, passes down something to us and we get to walk as heirs of a kingdom. How many of y'all can get excited about that? Yeah. Right? It's so different than how we feel like when we live paycheck to paycheck. We're like, we don't feel like heirs. We feel like something else. Or when there's issues in our life or things are consuming us, we don't feel like heirs. But it's so important for us to understand the kingship of the heavens. When we can understand King Jesus and his role and the role that he plays in our life, it actually should change our mindset because now we can understand the responsibility and the pressure and the weight that we are under. When we can understand the kingship of the heaven, it changes things in our life. We go from a place of defeat to a place of victory. See, some of us get to the church house and we're thinking like, they better sing all three of my favorite songs and Pastor G better have a good message. He better not come with no weak sauce. I need him to bring it today. And we come from a place of defeat because we are needing something from God. But there are some people that walk with the victory of the Lord. And they walk and say, listen, I may be going through things, but my God is already working it out. I'm going to this church house so I can corporate worship because the Bible says that I should never forsake the gathering. But I'm going with my brothers and sisters because they are warriors too. And we're going to worship this thing out because there's a fight that is on our hands. Are you on the defeated side or are you on the victory side? I hope that you're just not saying that and that is actually your lifestyle and your mindset. When we can understand that there is a king, it transforms our understanding. When we can understand the responsibility of heaven, then we can then understand our responsibility. If we are heirs to this thing, then everywhere I go, I own. And so often we want to stand on that name and claim it like, mine in the name of Jesus. It's going to be mine. No, it's already mine. Everywhere I stand, I have dominion. Why? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And we go to a place of lack instead of a place of already having it. And that's the difference between faith and lacking faith. But when you have a level of faith, you speak it as it's already done. And that is how the heavens is desiring for us to function and operate. Why? Because my God is able to do things that there are no boundaries can hold. That there is nothing that can hold. Like God says, I am. Right? And that is an all-sufficient, meaning that everything is within him. And if he owns everything and I am his child, then guess what? Scripture shows us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The book of Psalms describes God as you read throughout it that he is the Lord of the waters and he is the Lord of the land and he is the Lord of the nations. nations, and he is the Lord over all lords, and he is the Lord that will return again. And when we can understand that he is over everything and we got a relationship like that, then we don't fret over the simple things. Like I have a good relationship with God. Like we have an open door policy. Like when I need him, he's there. Anybody else got that type of relationship with God? Yeah. Like when I have to have a conversation with God, when I need breakthrough, guess who I go to? Because he's going to answer every time. Yeah. And I don't have to worry about him spreading my business. Because the king don't do that kind of stuff. See, the type of king that I serve, the boundaries of the waters respect him. I went to the beach in Florida, and the water would go but so far, and it would return back to itself. Come on, y'all. Listen, even the waters respect the boundary of a king. Some of us have a hard time with boundaries. When this earth, it responds to the boundaries that the king has set over it. And because he can stand and benefit from him being king, then we can stand and benefit from being his children. We serve the king. And we're heirs to that kingdom. Do you realize that when God created the heavens and the earth, regardless of whether you think the earth is round or flat, he gave Adam a responsibility to take dominion over all the earth. Dominion is a military term. It's almost a take it by force. And some of us are just living this life just way too nice while the enemy is just rampant and destroying our families. When God is saying, listen, I'm your king, you're my child, and what I have is yours, and this is how I want you to walk things out. It really allows us to transform our thinking just a little bit. It disrupts everything that we're used to. Before you came to God, coming to God completely disrupts everything. Like, there's some things that I do now that I would have never thought of doing before. Like, before it was, you got to make it and everything is, you're a taker. And when I come to God, God is having me give more than I take. God, you're making me give it away more quicker than it's coming in. I'm having to live a life of sacrifice. I'm having to literally give of myself and put away my own desires and take on the desires of heaven. Why? Because I've adopted the mindset that I'm a part of a kingdom and I have to serve the king. And the only way to be able to benefit from the kingdom is to do what the king says to do. How many of us live according to what the king tells us to do? How many of you are following the voice of the king? I receive all kind of news in my inbox, in my email, and I don't even know what news to believe anymore. I don't know what to believe anymore. I have to go to then another source to try to, I have to sit there for an hour and try to validate the news that I'm receiving. But I'll tell you what, when I read the Bible, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't have to validate it. It's already validated by the Holy Spirit. It's the inherent word of God for our life. Is anybody in the house? Are y'all here? Do y'all know the King? King Jesus? Because I'm saying some exciting stuff, and y'all looking at me like you never heard anything about this King. Do I need to talk about somebody y'all know? I can talk about somebody y'all know. King Jesus is okay? Because that's the person that we go to make sure that things happen in our life. He's the one that opens the doors that no man can open. And he's the one that keeps the door open that every man tries to shut. He's the one that gives you position in your life that no one can take away, not even yourself. Are you hearing? He's the one that keeps your marriage restored and keeps your mind sane. He's the one that provides when things don't look like they're going to come together. King Jesus is his name. We ought to get at least a little excited that the one that we go to and need from and provides to us, that he is with us always. That should stir something on the inside of you and get you really excited and almost like bubbly gut, like I get to be in relationship with King Jesus. Like we have this inheritance that we have to live out, and his inheritance to us is his legacy. We are living out an inheritance that is his legacy. And I love that thought. You know why? Somebody say why? Because your kids will live out an inheritance that will be your legacy. Some of y'all said amen. Think about it. Move away. Even the speakers started to respond on that one. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, and if the children, their heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We have this legacy that we have to live out. And there is a fruit that is shown in that you're living this thing out. It's really simple. When you go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 through 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, we will know if you're living out this legacy and this inheritance all right. And it gives us all of the attributes that if you possess these, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like if you possess these, then you're living out the legacy of heaven. All of these. Not some of them. Some of us are like, yeah, I'm good with the, you know, with the peace and the long suffering, but that self-control and that gentleness, they better try Jesus. They better not try me. And that self-control, I'm good, not messing with any of that, but it's this over here that I got a hard time with, so let me. Doesn't he forgive 70 times 7? Y'all know that one, right? Y'all know, like, we know he forgives and he turned water into wine. The fruit of your life. We look at the Sermon on the Mount. We think that Jesus preached all these different sermons everywhere he went. It was the same sermon. He preached the same sermon everywhere he went. And it was the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 10 is not, I'm not going to read the entire thing, but we can sum it up in this. The poor in spirit are prosperous. Those who mourn are fortunate, so are the gentle. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and are merciful, and the pure in heart and the peacemakers, and those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Finally, Jesus says, fortunate are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. King Jesus is saying, you're following me and you can live on my legacy if that's what your lifestyle looks like. Some of us will run from that. Like, I'm being persecuted for his name's sake. Like, I didn't even do nothing. And I'm being persecuted. Like, I'm prosperous if I'm poor? Hold a minute. Hold on one whole second. I'm prosperous if I'm poor. Are those who mourn are fortunate? Like if I'm crying and mourning, I'm fortunate? It don't make no sense. Somebody say it don't make no sense. It doesn't make sense. That's the problem. He's not trying for us to make it make sense. He's trying for us to follow King Jesus and do all that we can in our life so he can work through us and leave an impact on this world that will outlive you. But some of us, we live a life that everything dies the moment we do. The moment that we depart from this world, everything you work for, everything you sweat for, every blood droplet that you dropped on the ground, it completely goes in vain the moment that you part ways with this earth, because we didn't follow the king, we followed our way. And I learned this, that if I shoot for this world, this is all I get. But if I shoot for the other side, then God gives me this side as a bonus. Come on. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? There's a fruit that we possess that folks should see that attaches us to the king. And if there's no fruit, then the king don't want nothing to do with you. Why? Because he's saying, you will misrepresent me. It's kind of like Shaniqua's who you with. She said, who you with? I saw Pastor Bill's face, and he was just kind of like, his eyebrows came together. He was like, we don't do that. We're not going to do that right. It's all fun and games. But what is the fruit, and is the king excited about your representation of him? There's a king. And we get to live on his kingship. Now, there's examples all through scripture on this kingship thing. This king begets a king. And we can see the story of King Solomon and King David. The generational inheritance. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. David is considered. Listen to me. David is considered a man after God's own heart. Now, when King David passed down to King Solomon, King Solomon received all of the riches. The Bible explains King Solomon as one of the richest men, one of the richest kings. But he was also one of the wisest kings. God gave him an opportunity, and he said, ask me for whatever you want to ask me for. And we can see the inheritance of the heart that he received when he said to God, I want more wisdom. Because any man who lacked a God, a heart after God, would have asked for more riches. But we can see that we can receive either generational blessings or generational curses. And at this point, David passed down a generational blessing to his son because he had a heart after God. What are you passing down to your wee ones? Yeah, they may get a house. And okay, they may get a car. They might even get a little bit of change in the bank. That would make you really happy if you could do that for your children. Amen? But what is the greater? That they receive all of that, but a wicked heart from the parents that they were born to, or a heart that was a people after God's own heart? What would we prefer to pass down to our children? And I don't mean that you were just a stern parent and you were like, you're going to do things my way or the highway, because a churning of the nose, the Bible says, that only brings forth blood. Not what you can make your kids do, but what did they see? Because your kids are not going to do what you tell them. They're going to do what they saw you do.
That's right.
We will hand down what we receive. What have we received from King Jesus? This is why some of us in this place, we may not have come from religious parents. We may not have come from parents full of faith. And so we're the ones to get this thing going and start the relationship with God. We get the heart of the Lord. What are we passing down? We get down to the story of the prodigal son. How many of y'all have ever heard the story of the prodigal son? Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. I'll just reference them. I won't read it all because it's a long story. But I love this story because it's the royal story of a young man who failed, but still was received at home with a ring and a rope. And so this inheritance thing is not based off of them, it's based off of the king. And we get to come back to the king, even though we've messed up. And he receives us with a ring and a robe. Thank God for the King. And lastly, I love on how in the kingdom, there's a mustard seed. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32, it talks about this little tiny seed called the mustard seed. It's really little. But this little seed has the power and ability and potential to produce a rainforest. Yeah. And so in your life, the things that you're going through, number one, we can see in scripture that you can't make an excuse as to what you have done in your life because the King is open arms. And we can't complain about what little we have in the kingdom because the kingdom is saying, listen, with the little that you have, I can produce much. But the King is saying, I'm ready for you to carry on my inheritance and my legacy. Will you do it? Will you do it? Otherwise, we step into places where we live like the people outside of the kingdom, looking in, desiring to be in the kingdom, but not doing anything to take steps to move in that direction. James chapter 2 verse 5 says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? God has made a promise to us. And all we have to do is love him. He's not looking for your wallet like Pastor Bill. He's just looking for your heart and your willingness to say, I want to be an heir. Anybody in the house want to be an heir? Yeah. H-E-I-R. And as we receive, then we get to pass down. I'm tired of families dealing with the generational curses. I've had to deal with generational curses. Anybody else have to deal with generational curses? That you got to break? That you just kind of like, why do I have to be the one to break this thing? Listen, don't complain about it. Just do it. Why? Because the people behind you will benefit from it. I'm grateful that my children don't have to endure what I had to endure. Because I began to get the mindset, I work for the King. I work for the King. Anybody else want to work for the King? Anybody else want to work for the King? There are benefits to working for the King. And that's not negating the things that you've gone through. Everybody's gone through some stuff. I know that you've gone through some things. But you didn't go through them alone. And from each one of those trials, can I tell you something? You may feel weaker, but you're actually stronger. Because there are some blows that the enemy has brought your way that should have taken a regular person out, but they didn't take you out. And you're still standing. Why? Because the King has work for you. I'm excited for what the King is going to do in my life. Will you be excited about what the King is going to do in your life? And it's not, God is not a respecter of people. It doesn't matter where you've come from, what skin shade, what hair texture, how much you got in your bank account. God could do whatever he wants with whoever he wants, male and female. Some people ask me, Pastor G, what's your take on women in ministry? Well, women help bring sin into the world. Y'all can help take it out. That's my take. It's So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for being such a sovereign God. God, we don't love you because of what you can do for us. We love you just because you're king all by yourself, God. You are all sufficient. God, I don't rush through to get to what I want to do. I give you my full attention every moment of the day, God. I may not pray for an hour, but there's not an hour of the day that I don't pray. So God, I stand before you in front of these people. Say, God, give us revelation of your kingship over our lives and over this world, my God. God, that your word overpowers anything that may be going on at the White House. Father, you govern that White House. You govern over every palace. You govern over every democracy, every dictatorship. God, nothing happens without your permission. And we're so grateful to be in relationship with you, my God. God, you are holy, incomparable, and there is no rival to you, God. And we get to call you Abba. We get to call you friend. But greater than all of those, we call you King. We're grateful that we get to represent you on this land. Great is your faithfulness, King. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in this place and you're saying, you know what? I've never made a decision to make King Jesus a part of my life. I'm ready to make that decision today. Maybe you're watching us online and you're saying, I've never made a decision to follow Jesus, but I'm feeling like today is the day. If that's you and you're in the house and you're ready to make a decision, you're feeling like, well, maybe I've done a whole lot of stuff that's crazy and I don't know if the Lord is willing to accept me, I want to let you know that if he was willing to accept crazy old me, then he's willing to accept crazy old you. If you're ready to make that decision today, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I see those hands in the back. Anyone else that would say, I am ready to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life? Is there anyone else that would make that decision today? Perhaps you're here and you're saying, you know what, I made the decision, but it's been some time and I've kind of fallen away and become distracted, but I'm ready to come on back home. If that's you, would you slip up your hand in the house? We'll pray for you right where you're at. See that hand. Let's repeat together. Dear Jesus, today I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for doing things my own way. Today, I am making a decision to change my life around and be a part of a kingdom that's in relationship with the King. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that raise their hand ready to rededicate their lives. God, I thank you for them. I thank you, God, that we get to come back home and you receive us with a ring and a robe. We love you, God. We pray that as we enter into this relationship with you, that you would keep us reminded that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are interceding on our behalf. May we get out of the way and allow you to do what only you can do. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name that we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Well, we get to do something before we close out the service. We get to do something exciting today, and that is dedicate two children. You guys could come up on the stage. Amen. Little Rosabella. And Elijah. And so it's amazing to be a part of family's journey. It's incredible on some of the children that we've seen be born and then grow up and talking and running around. And it's incredible as a pastor. It's awesome to be a part. Yeah, if you're part of the family, come on up. We love to be family, Ryan. When we baptize, we want family to be around folks. And if your family's up here, this is community. Amen. And so we love being a part of families' lives and watching the little ones grow up. I've seen Monique, who's not here today, but I remember when little Haven was born. She was pregnant, y'all. Little Haven's running right here. Little Haven is not so little anymore. She's big Haven now. She's a big girl. And so it's amazing for us to be a part of lives and see the children grow up. This morning, little Lucas, Liz's son, Adrian's son, was talking to me, and I wish I could talk. I wish I knew what he was saying, but he was raising his eyebrows and squinting and everything. He was having a real conversation. I was just kind of like, I just made up my own conversation. I was talking about something else. He just walked away like he don't even know what I'm saying. But it's wonderful to see these amazing little children and to be a part of their life and to be a part of the parents' lives. And is he a handsome fella?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Hi, buddy. How are you? He's like, he's got a good little Christian boy haircut on now. When you comb your head aside, that means you're a good Christian boy. All right? Amen. And so, dedication, when you're dedicating a child, you are presenting these children to the Lord. You are presenting in front of this body and saying, I'm giving this child to you, God, because you can raise this child better than I can. Now, God gives you the resources and he gives you the responsibility and he makes a way. But ultimately, all of the decisions that you make are in this book. And in us presenting these children back to God, we're saying, God, I'm going to raise them by what's in your book. I love when Jesus was presented. He was already 30 years old. That's why we call it child dedication instead of baby dedication. We'll dedicate somebody with a mustache. Like you, your dedication, he got a mustache. He would dedicate him. But Jesus was baptized, right, by John the Baptist. And the moment that he came out of the water, right, that was the Father up in heaven. He's like, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And a dove came flying through. There was a presentation that happened. It was a release to ministry. And even though they're young and running around and they can't do nothing for themselves, this is like their calling to ministry. And even at this young age, the Bible says this, that we ought to return to our childlike faith. Because once we grow up, we think we know better. And that's when we're bigger headed to God. When we grow, when we are age, when you Leslie age. They're at a good place because they depend on God. They depend on you for all substance, all care, all security. And God says, return to that. So they're at a good place. Sometimes mamas and dads, they suffer for their children, but they're at a better place than we are. But even at this young age, at the perfect age, God is already speaking to their hearts and to their minds and preparing them for what he's calling them to. So you may want them to be lawyers, doctors, whatever it is that you have in mind. Most of the time, we just want them to be whatever we wanted to be when we were young. God has already a calling over their life. So your responsibility is simple. Help them be the best them that God intends them to be. Now, we all have desires. Y'all have a big family. Wow. There's a lot of it. We all have desires. But our greatest desire should be making them less dependent on us or from us and more dependent on God. And so my wife would have loved to be here today to be a part of this. She loves babies. Babies don't like her. But I'm going to tell you why. Because every baby that she comes into contact with has lipstick all over the place. And when they see her coming, they're like, because they know what's coming. And so she would have loved to be here today. And she loves little baby Rosabella and my daughter being a part of that family. We're so excited to see the growth of moving forward. A gift that we have for each of you as a first-time gift is this little Bible, right? It's little. And we'll have certificates printed for you guys as well, for you to keep this day in remembrance. And so the way that I love doing child dedication is kind of like a marriage, right? Because it requires a village. Now, I know that you have your family, some with the same last name, some with different last names, but we are a part of your spiritual family. And as I would want someone to correct my child if they were doing something wrong, I'm making a commitment to you to help you do the same. And I'm asking the family for permission to let me do that, because some families are like, you better not be talking to my child over there. And so as a church body, will you make a commitment to be a part of their life, a part of their community? And if you can see something going on that shouldn't be going on, that you would be a part of the correction, and that you will be a part of the growth of their life. And if God shows you a dream, that you would share the dream with the family. And if God shows you something amazing and prophetic, that you would come and be a part of all that God wants to share with the family that you see up here, the families. Do you commit to do that? Yeah. Can we stand in place really quick? I'll turn around and I'll ask you, family, will you give us permission to be a part of your family, a part of the growth of your children, a part of their spiritual growth, but also a part of ensuring that they're navigating in the direction that they need to go? Do you give us permission, families? Yeah. I remember a time where everyone knew each other on the block. And if you got caught doing something wrong, everybody would get you. And then you get home and mama would say, wait till your daddy get home. Now, with air conditioning and heating, central, all of this stuff, everybody's windows are closed, doors are closed, garages are closed. You drive in, you close the door behind you, you don't even know your neighbors. We've kind of lost that community a little bit. But it's our job as a church body to say we're going to uphold some of these principles and be a part of your journey. And I'm excited to see these little ones grow up, running around here, getting in trouble. Not if they get in trouble, when they do. It's a sure thing. And so, where's the oil? Can you get me? Can somebody pass me one of the oils? Yeah. So this is a symbol of faith. There's no power in this oil, but we do see in scripture that anointing does take place. It talks about the sick. It shows that when a king was anointed, that they would pour a horn of oil over their heads. And so we, as a practice here at the Link Church, do as the Bible shows us. And we anoint and we use the oil. And so as we pray together for the children, Mom, Dad, do you commit to live a life holy as unto the Lord, as good representatives, as heirs to a kingdom? Do you make this commitment? And do you commit to raise your child in the ways of the Lord? Not with the thumb over their head, but with the ways of God as He would intend it. The Bible says that many are the plans in our heart, but it's God's plan that will prevail. And so will you help them understand that in their life journey? And will you, family, help them understand these things and remind them the mandate that they have? Will you help them navigate in that direction? Yeah. And so we'll pray and we'll dedicate these children. Will you extend your hand this way to the front? So God, in the name of Jesus, today, we dedicate these children and we present them to you, Father God. Lord, have your way in their lives, my God. Even now, God, speak to them in dreams and give them visions, Father God. We pray for mom and dad, God, as we anoint them, God. And we say, God, give them the wisdom in this hour to bring up their children in the way of the Lord. God, may they never lack anything, Father. We call on the attribute of Jehovah Jireh, my God. We pray, God, in the times where we just feel like we don't know what to say or what to do, God, that you would give us the words. That you would give us the direction, my God. Lord, we don't understand the love of a mom and, or a dad until we've carried that title. And what a prestigious title it is, my God. May we live up to it, my God. May we have families that are wholesome and full of your presence and your love and your joy. God, we pray over the families now in the name of Jesus, God. We pray right now that any generational curses that have been keeping the families from growing forward, my God, that it would be removed right now in the name of Jesus. God, tradition is not worth us having limitations and being manipulated by the enemy. And so we strike down all generational curses. And we pray, God, bring us into a season of the generational blessings over our lives. My God, we know that you are a soon to return king, and we are a bride preparing ourselves for this return. My God, may we do all that we can to live wholly according to your word and raise our children up with the legacy of being like Solomon, possessing a heart after God. Thank you, God, for all of the families that are here representing together, God. And as a church family, we will do our best. God, may all of the families do their best, believing that as we bring all that we have to you, God, that you will do your best work. Today, we pray over these children and we dedicate them to you, believing that they will do greater than we could have ever done. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to take a moment to share this and tag us, as we are on all social media platforms at The Linked Church. Our motto is, Why Do Life Alone?